And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here. Big Move the Sticks podcast coming your way today, Buck. A lot of NFL and college football to get to. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing great. We are talking about a lot. We're going to cover a lot of ground. Monday Night Football recap. We're going to talk about the Tennessee Titans whipping up on the Dallas Cowboys. Talk about how the traded players debuted, how they looked with their new teams. And then we have a terrific player, Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke University. We're going to interview him and just kind of talk about how things are going for him in this season.
I look forward to that conversation. I'll tell you what, there's a little extra pep in Bucky Brooks' step today, and you know why that
is. Must be the hot chocolate.
It's basketball season. As a North Carolina guy, it's basketball season, and there's a little excitement, a little extra juice there with Bucky today.
We got to get back on track, man. Football sucks, so I got to put all my eggs in the basketball basket. The only way I can be happy and fulfilled this year is my basketball team is going to have to win it all, because right now I'm not able to talk about my university at all, and it's disappointing.
All right, well, I'm excited. We've got Romeo Langford at IU right now. I mean, I think we could be a tournament team this year, Buck. I'm excited.
That's unbelievable. So unbelievable.
All right, let's start off with Monday Night Football. What'd you see, Titans and the Cowboys?
You know, what I saw was a disappointing Dallas Cowboys team. Even though you changed the pieces, you moved the characters around, I think this team has an issue. I don't believe they necessarily play to their talent, and I believe they have a serious question or a conversation that they must have internally about whether Dak Prescott is going to be the guy that they can build around. I know the owner has emphatically said that this isn't about Dak Prescott. He's not under evaluation. He is their franchise quarterback. But if it's going to be about Dak Prescott, then either Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan need to figure out a way to build this offense around him while still making it all about Ezekiel Elliott, or they got to figure out a way just to get Dak Prescott to play better with the pieces that he has around him. I know the offensive line has been shaky. I know he's still getting used to the number one receiver. But ultimately, this is a quarterback-driven league. And if your quarterback isn't playing well, it is hard to consistently win games in the National Football League.
I just wonder when I see now, like, Cowboy games. Well, the Cowboys are in primetime, you know, every week, even though you say they don't get enough attention.
Okay, I'm beginning. I think I'm gonna amend that statement a little bit. Maybe they get too much attention. How about that? Does that make it better?
Oh, there you go. Maybe it is too much attention. But I will say, I think John Gruden watches with a tub of popcorn when the Cowboys are playing right now. See where that pick's gonna look like.
I mean, he can watch with a tub of popcorn, but he needs to be careful on his own because the Oakland Raiders aren't playing as well.
All right, let's get to these notable player debuts here with new teams on the trades. We'll just rip through them here. Demaryius Thomas, Clinton Dix, Dante Fowler, and Snacks Harrison. Just kind of what we've seen so far from these teams and what you think of these moves going forward.
I like the move with Demaryius Thomas going to the Houston Texans. What he's able to do is, look, he's not the burner that Will Fuller was for them, but he certainly can control the middle of the field. 3 receptions, 61 yards, pretty solid debut effort. And when you put him opposite DeAndre Hopkins, look, DeAndre Hopkins had 10 catches at over 100 yards. He is the number one. But now you have a real big-bodied number two that Deshaun Watson can target. And even though they'll lose some of the explosive pop that they had with Will Fuller, they get another good player that they can put in the middle of the field, work in beside the numbers. That is where Deshaun Watson is in his comfort zone. I think this offense will actually be better and more playoff ready with a big body like Demaryius Thomas on the field.
Yeah, he was emotional, man. He was very emotional after that game. You could tell it meant a lot to him.
Hey, man, it was personal. It was personal. The team let him go. They let him ride.
I guess so. Clinton Dix, 7 tackles. It did not help slow down the Falcons, though, Buck.
No, it did not help slow down the Falcons. The Falcons were wearing them out. This is a beat-up ball club, too, the Washington Redskins. 3 O-line guys are out of the lineup. They don't have what they normally thought they would have going into it, because I was really beginning to warm up to the Washington Redskins as a team that could sneak in the playoffs. I don't know how they'll do it. I think it puts more pressure on Alex Smith. And then defensively, it's only a matter of time. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix, DJ Swearinger, they'll get on the same page. But, man, now more than ever, their defense is going to have to play stingy defense. And the way the league is set up, I don't know if they can hold teams consistently under 20 points.
All right, the last two here, just quick thoughts on with Fowler and Snacks Harrison there.
I mean, Dante Fowler is the guy that he brought over to be a rusher, but I just don't know if he's an elite pass rusher. He's a power player off the edge. He's better than what they had in the lineup. I don't know how much of a bump he's going to give that pass rush. Maybe he can feast off of those garbage sacks that are created when Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald are able to create penetration up the middle. But I don't know how big of a contributor he will be for this team as they head down the stretch.
Yeah, Buck, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this group. I mean, the last one there, Snacks Harrison. Now, six tackles last week against the Vikings, but that team has a lot of other issues. So my whole take on that team is they start to lose three or four games and start to go on a little bit of a slide. I'll be anxious to see what the reaction is there with Coach Patricia, because I think that when things are going well, everything's going to be fine there. But you start to hear some chirping from some veterans here pretty soon if this continues to slide.
Yeah, I think you're almost at that point. I think it's very, very critical for this team because they let go a very, very popular player in Golden Tate. Some of their other players aren't necessarily being involved. We don't know what's going on with Ziggy Ansah. He hasn't been really a factor for them this season. And so Snacks comes over to kind of fortify the defense, and they're trying to be tougher on both sides of the ball. But, yeah, situation critical for the Detroit Lions.
No doubt. All right, G Suite is a suite of cloud-based productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slides, Sheets, and Drive. These tools improve your work life both in terms of your experience and the outputs you create. Hence their new campaign, Make It with G Suite.
You know, when you have 20 identical versions of a document labeled Finaled and no clue which is the latest, so you make another version and name that one Final Final, right? Well, with G Suite by Google Cloud, a range of work apps like Gmail, Docs, and Slides let you make real-time updates to the same document without having to track version after version of the project. And since all the tools are cloud-based, your whole team can access the same document and work on the same page at the same time.
To find out more about G Suite's productivity tools, visit gsuite.com. That's gsuite.com. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud. All right, Buck, I am really excited for this next conversation. Let's just get right to it. All right, Buck, excited to bring in our next guest here. We seem like we're on a little bit of a quarterback run. Had Wilger on last week, and this week we've got Daniel Jones from Duke joining us. Daniel, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
Great, great, great.
I'm anxious to hear what you had to say about last week's game against Miami. Man, it looked like you guys were playing in a hurricane.
Yeah, it was a little tough. It was, the weather forecast said 30%, so I thought we might get lucky with, a dry game, but practically a monsoon there for the first half. But it was tough, but glad to come out with a win.
You know, Dan, you had a unique journey going from Charlotte Ladin to becoming Duke's starting quarterback. Talk a little bit about your journey and how you went from kind of being in obscurity to now being a star quarterback at a major program.
Yeah, my recruiting process was a little different in that, I was a guy that matured a little later. I wasn't, I didn't get ranked early or get, kind of rated as a lot of these quarterbacks do. So, kind of through my junior and senior years when I started to, play better and get some kind of recognition toward the end of my junior year. And then through my senior year, I actually broke my wrist going into my senior summer, so that kind of set me back there with some camp. So it was kind of down to my senior summer to where I was, had some tape to be recruited off of. And, I was lucky enough that Coach Cut noticed that and reached out and, to get the opportunity here. So, a little different, but, I'm, certainly thrilled and very grateful to be in the position I am today.
So, Daniel, so in talking about Coach Cutcliffe, he is obviously known as one of the quarterback gurus in college football. What have you learned from him during your time at Duke?
I think I've learned a lot. Certainly the X's and O's portion of the game, I think, he's a great teacher in that way, and I've certainly learned a lot. But I think more than anything, just the responsibility of playing the position and how much is on your shoulders as a quarterback to control and to manage as an offense. I think, he's taught me as well as, all our other quarterbacks how, just how much, a quarterback, needs to be able to do, how much the quarterback needs to be able to know and control about the offense and, how much of, our success, our, ability to execute is dependent on the quarterback knowing what to do and knowing how to do it.
You know, to that point, Coach Cutcliffe obviously has a unique perspective because he's coached two of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. How often are you guys reminded of what those guys did? How many lessons are you able to take away from his experience coaching those guys to coaching a guy like yourself?
Yeah, I think, we hear stories about them, weekly. I think, he's having conversation with Peyton. I think even to, you know, he's very close with those guys, and, you know, he talks to them, you know, weekly. He tells us about their conversation sometimes. You know, I remember a conversation that Peyton and him had in camp about a specific, you know, route, and, you know, he relayed that information to us. And, you know, just hearing kind of even secondhand sometimes, you know, those conversations, hearing about, you know, how Peyton might think about something, or, you know, what Peyton did in a certain situation, you know, it was really cool. And, you know, hearing those experiences from him. And then, you know, Eli comes down here in the spring to work out with his guys, and being able to watch that, being able to, you know, hear some of those conversations between Eli and his guys, you know, is huge, and, you know, been really cool to learn from.
You know, thinking about learning, we believe life's experiences are a terrific teacher. And so for you throughout your career, what have been some of the hardships or adversities that you've had to overcome, and how have they shaped you as a player and as a person?
Yeah, I think, you know, athletically, you know, as a player, I think, you know, kind of a time, you know, as we talked about earlier, that time going from, you know, high school to playing, you know, at the collegiate level, you know, playing in college was certainly my goal. And there after my, you know, junior year, I'd broken my wrist. I wasn't getting a whole lot of attention. So, you know, it didn't seem like that was necessarily, you know, going to work out exactly how I wanted it to. So, you know, going into that senior year, going into that summer, I didn't have a chance to go to as many camps as I wanted to. I didn't, you know, necessarily get all those opportunities. So I knew that it was, you know, going to come down to my senior year. I think, you know, just kind of going through that and get, you know, learning that I just needed to control what I could control, and that was preparing to play my senior year as well as I can. And I'm just, you know, like I said, very thankful to Coach Cutt and you know, these coaches here at Duke for recognizing that and, you know, giving me an opportunity to play here.
You know, in thinking about that, if that has been your biggest hardship, what has been your biggest highlight in your career?
You know, I don't know. I think just being here at Duke has been my biggest highlight. I think the culture here we have, the teammates, you know, I have here on the team, the friends I've been able to create, you know, through these years here has been my highlight, you know, thinking about my career. So I think we have a special group of guys, a special culture here that's made it. So where I've been able to grow, you know, on the field athletically, but also, you know, off the field with those guys socially, you know, in the classroom and, you know, just kind of, you know, day-to-day life.
Last question on the three H's here to round it off. Just your hero. Who would you say is your hero? Could be somebody on the football field, somebody in your personal life, but who's Daniel Jones' hero?
You know, I'd say my dad's my hero. You know, ever since I was a little guy, you know, I think he's been my hero. I think he's, you know, the most selfless person I know, always did what he could to, you know, help me and my siblings out, do what's best for us. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't be in the position I am today without him.
Well, it's terrific. You are certainly in a great position going forward. Love what you're doing at Duke University. I hope you go easy on my Tar Heels in a few weeks. I don't need to see the bell continue to be painted in Duke blue. I would like to see it painted in Carolina blue. But regardless of that, best of luck to you. Best of luck to Duke and the rest of you guys on your season.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. Appreciate y'all having me.
That was a great chat there with Daniel Jones, Buck. I really enjoyed that conversation. What a neat story. It's going to be fun to follow him through the rest of his college career. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online.
Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/sticks, fill out the brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that most guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it is easy to take care of.
For a free online visit, go to Roman.com/sticks. That's Roman.com/sticks. For a free online visit, get Roman.com/sticks. All right, Buck, let's talk a little bit about what we saw in the college football world last week. Some really fun games to watch on TV. One of them was not Alabama-LSU, because that was a butt-kicking.
Man, that was a tail-kicking. It was hard to watch that, man. I felt more like I had to endure it more so than watch it. You just thought LSU was going to give them a better matchup, and I thought the game was very, very competitive for the first quarter and a half. The defense kind of kept them in the mix. But offensively, LSU just couldn't move the ball. Alabama's defense is just too good. They're too talented. And then what we're seeing from Tua is you give Tua enough time, he'll eventually crack the code. And we saw him eventually crack the code and have a couple big plays in the passing game.
I went back and watched the tape of this one, too, on defense. Quinnen Williams was dominant there from Alabama. I mean, he's playing better even than Jonathan Allen played the year that he was going off for that Alabama defense. I think Quinnen Williams is a better football player, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very, very scary. This Alabama team, I mean, they're loaded. And, you know, we'll talk about all of these guys running up to the draft. They're loaded with older guys. They're loaded with younger guys. They're just loaded from top to bottom. LSU also has a tremendous amount of talent. But when it comes to playing and playing as a team, man, I just think it's hard to match what Alabama brings each and every week.
How about Clemson throwing up 77 on Louisville, capped off by Dabo's son getting in the end zone?
Yeah, man, that was pretty cool to see his son score a touchdown. But what's really cool, man, when you see a team run for almost 500 yards in a game, that is something that we only see from typically the service academies, Army, Navy, Air Force teams that are running the flex bone. Those are the teams that really grind and get after like that. But Clemson is talented. Clemson finds a way to continue to give the ball to their playmakers, and they make a ton of plays. And that young quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, I don't know if we will see him tested during what I call the regular season, but in the playoffs, he's going to be the one that they put the game on, and can he make enough plays for them to get to the championship game?
He's been very impressive. Any other college games jump out to you?
Hey, man, look, our guy, Will Grier, continues to be a very impressive player, a very impressive prospect. I thought that game versus Texas might be his signature game when it comes to the run-up to the NFL draft. This kid made plays. He made plays in the final minute. Then he came back and made the two-point conversion after throwing a dart to Davis Seals, Texas calling the timeout, having to reset it. Then he goes in on a quarterback draw. Will Grier is one of my favorite players in the draft, and I think he's going to be a guy that when we talk about the quarterback position and the prospects, which one can you trust the most, I think he's going to be in that conversation when it comes down to the quarterback evaluation.
Yeah, that throw was ridiculous there at the end of the game, off one foot and just dropped it right into the bucket, showed you a lot of poise, accuracy, all that good stuff, and then a two-point conversion to be patient on that quarterback draw, find his way into the end zone. What a fun game to watch. That was the highlight for me, watching the end of that football game there with Texas. All right, Buck, anything else you want to tackle here before we get out of here?
No, I mean, that's it. This was a loaded podcast, but I know on Thursday we'll have more ground to cover, more matchups, more things to talk about heading to another great football weekend.
I've got two words to leave you with, Buck, and they are not encouraging to a Tar Heel. Those words are Zion Williamson.
Ah, man, it's early. We'll deal with them. Like we're fine with that. We know we're Duke has. We're ready. I'm ready for basketball season to tip off because football has been a big disappointment.
Yeah. No. Well, we always got basketball, Carolina. Like I said, Indiana, my college basketball team that I followed since I was a little kid. I think we could actually be a tournament team. That's how bad it's become. Celebrate NCAA tournament berths. Not good. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys for sticking with us here on Move the Sticks. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Daniel Jeremiah. Kent and Cam doing the work behind the glass. Appreciate them. As always, we will see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.